Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Back to A Celtic State of Mind. I'm Paul John Dykes, and today I'm sitting in for Declan McConville, who is speaking to Scott Brown. He would rather speak to Scott Brown than speak to James McKenzie in Edinburgh, Lawrence Conley in Rutherglen, and Liam Carrigan in Nagano in Japan. There you go. And of course, I'm sitting here in Dalkeith. We're going to be talking all things Celtic. Let's start off with the Scottish Cup semi-final draw. The ties will be played on the 29th or the 30th of April. We, of course, will be live on the evening of the 29th with Big Bad John. John Hartson's joining us at Barra's Art and Design. That could be a good celebratory evening or a prelude to a Scottish Cup semi-final victory. What do you make? I'll come to you first, Liam, of the draw. Pretty happy with that?
Well, first of all, I think just make it clear that all tickets are non-refundable in case that result doesn't go according to plan. I'm excited about it. Hopefully I'll be set up in my new flat with my new house, rather, with my new internet by then, and I'll be able to watch it. It's lucky. It's very lucky. I did not plan this, but I'm going offline for a couple of weeks after today's show, and it's actually perfect that my internet blackout is just perfectly lining up with the international break. So I'm not actually going to miss a Celtic game, thank God.
That's ideal. That is absolutely ideal. You're saying you're quite happy with the draw, of course. If we do get through the semi-final, Liam, we're not counting any chickens here. We will be talking about trebles at some point. Falkirk versus Inverness Carlow Thistle in the other semi. There's been some chat in the media around how that's a bad thing for Scottish football. Do you subscribe to that?
Not at all, I think. Smaller clubs or perceived smaller clubs getting further in tournaments is only good for the game. Unless, of course, that small club you're talking about is the 12-year-old one from Ibrox, in which case, no, they shouldn't be there. But no, and all joking aside, Carlow Thistle and Falkirk, two historical, cup teams that do quite well. And they both got to the latter stages of the Cup fairly recently. I think Cali won it, was it 2015, 2016, something like that? It's great to see them back there. And Cali Thistle are a team I've had business dealings with in the past. Very, very well-run club. Very friendly club. And I hope they make the final, and then we can take six after them in the final.
and why not? And we will be talking about the potential for a treble, because obviously mm-hmm. I feel that we've probably been talking about it on Axon for a few weeks now, and I always, you know, there's always a wee footnote on that, in that we are Celtic fans. We don't have to be as cautious in press conferences as Alexis Vance, who doesn't want to talk about a treble, and I totally get that. But we can talk about a treble, James, surely?
Yeah, it's a massive opportunity for it as well. You've only really got Rangers as far as a tough team to beat, and I don't really subscribe to this. The smaller teams getting further is sort of worse for Scottish football. If you're watching the World Cup and an underdog story happens, like Morocco getting to the semi-finals, does that make the World Cup look worse? No, it doesn't. So I don't get how it reflects in Scottish football. But it's good to see the smaller teams like getting through. It's like a good day out for them, and it only provides a bit more excitement for the tournament as well, and hopefully an easier team for Celtic in the final, an easier route to a treble.
Well, you know, I think the comments that were made, Lawrence, kind of go smack against this whole romance of the Scottish Cup. You know, it's surely the romance of the Scottish Cup, so we teams getting a good run in the Cup. So, I mean, if you come up against these sides, they're not going to be underestimated by Ange or any of the players. You know, you just got to hear any press conference that the guys are in, and you know that they're absolutely fine-tuned every time they come up against any side. We've heard it before. They approach Real Madrid the same way that they approach any other teams domestically. But as fans, Lawrence, we can talk about it. James is saying they're kind of easier route to a treble. Of course it would be. If you get into that final and you're up against either a Championship or a League One side, you're going to fancy your chances, and you expect all the worrying and all the preparation to be done by the guys wearing the Celtic jerseys.
Totally. Listen, we're probably pretty lucky. We can hold two different thoughts at one time. You know, the most important game is the next game, but we can still have our eyes on the treble. And, you know, for wee teams getting there, as long as it's in merit and there's been no cheating, surely that's what it's about. It's about the merits of your team on the park. And if they're complaining that the other teams aren't good enough, well, you know, should we just let some teams win games? Maybe that happens in Scotland, I don't know. But, you know, we teams are there in merit. They've won their games in the Cup, they've got the semi-final, one of them's going to be in the final. Mm-hmm. Cracking for them. Brilliant for those fans, are those clubs getting a day out of Hampden. You know, no doubt a week or two running up to that, there'll be a chat about ticket allocations and how many tickets they should get. But, yeah, I just can't believe people are suggesting that it's bad for football. They're there in merit. You know,
no, you're right.
What else do you want? Well, we just decided that the semi-finals, four biggest clubs, should just play the semi-finals. What is it they're suggesting?
Well, Lawrence, I think it flies against the frustrations that we often have with the Champions League, for example, where it's a misnomer. It's not even a Champions League, because back in the day, every team in the competition that was competing were champions, and that's no longer the case. So it has to be on merit. So I totally agree with you. The other thing, I want to come to you, Liam. You were speaking about how Inverness are a great you know, success story. If you think about it, going back to the amalgamation and everything that's happened since then, they became a staple part of the top division for many years. Obviously, they beat us a couple of times in the Cups, which wasn't nice on that journey. And as you say, they have had success under John Hughes in the Cup final. One thing that I'm pretty critical about when it comes to other Scottish clubs is their failure to capitalise often on the opportunity to make them even more financially secure. And I think we've been talking about it all the way through this season with regards to the ticketing situation. Lawrence and I hold different views on that, which is fine. But I just think that there are some situations where a club like Falkirk, a club like Inverness, they're going to be getting so much traffic coming to, you know, their websites, through their ticket office, etc. And it's all about them capitalising on it, Liam, so that they can build on that as well. Because like James is saying, you know, getting to Hampden, the ticket allocation, the interest, the momentum that starts to swing your way. These two clubs haven't really had that for a while. I know that Inverness were kind of struggling financially earlier on this year. Falkirk, you know, they dropped out of division. I always remember Falkirk being a Premier League football club, dropped down to divisions. They don't even have a youth setup. That was one of the things they were famed for, Liam. So I think it's good, but the clubs that are there, Inverness and Falkirk, they need to capitalise on it.
Yeah, and I really hope that in one sense, they are playing each other, so one of them is going to get to the Cup final, which is a showpiece event. shown around the world. You know, that's great for the profile of that club. Unfortunately, financially, it would probably have worked out better for them both if one would have played Celtic and one would have played Rangers in the semis. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, that is probably what the press, the sponsors, the TV companies all wanted, which is why you're getting this manufactured negative narrative about the two Diddy teams making the semi-final and playing each other. Because what they wanted there, and their words, not mine, they wanted their Old Firm final, and now they're not going to get it, and they're throwing the toys at the pram. But to go back to your point, I think that what's really important for me is that both teams can take advantage of this opportunity to raise their profile, because the game's going to be on the telly. Let's have a good game. Let's have an entertaining game. And let's have one where neutrals can watch it and come away thinking, do you know what? That was a good game. That's two teams that would add something to the top flight if they got in there, or if we expanded the top flight, which, you know, I think we all agree playing each other four times a season is very, very tedious. We really do need an expanded top flight, and, you know, go for the English setup, play each other twice. You know, that is the way it is in Japan. That's the way it is in most normal leagues where TV does not dictate the fixture list.
Mm-hmm. You know, but they're so desperate to get the four fixtures between Celtic and Rangers, Liam. You know, that's almost the be-all and end-all. And we'll come back to that, by the way, in relation to some of the comments that I've been reading this week from former Scottish managers, which I find quite interesting. I've given the three guys a wee teaser in relation to Scott Brown, who indeed lifted the Scottish Cup six times for Celtic. He's been in a press conference this afternoon. Our very own Declan McConville and Colin Water in that presser. And I really don't know what I would ask him as my first and only question. I'd need to have a think about that, but the three guys are also having a think. But before we come to you and ask you the question, here's some comments coming in. Xander Mack, 50 years supporting the Hoops today. Nice one, Xander. I've got a question for you, and I hope that I see your response, because the comments are coming in pretty thick and fast. Is this, or where does this team rank in the greatest Celtic team that you've seen? I've seen a lot of chat on social media, people who were born in the 70s, for example, saying this is the best Celtic side they've seen. Where does it rank in your view, Xander Mack? It would be interesting to hear your thoughts. Davey is coming in. Davey O'Raw, Harrow Shamrock CSE. Great to have you on board and commenting on the stream. Michael McDonald, if by implosion you mean sack the manager and win sweet FA, then yes, yes, and thrice yes. A treble, yes. I'll explain what I mean by the implosion as we go through. And Martin O'Neill comes in. Afternoon, Axomniacs. I like that. Yes, we're all Axomniacs. We'll start with you, James, because you're next to me on the screen, but also you're the youngest in the Axom team. You're sitting there in a press conference with Bruni. What do you ask him?
He's had such a long career at Celtic. He's won, I think I saw a stat when he retired, that was if Scott Brown was a football team, he would be the third most successful team in Scotland. He's had such a storied career. To try and pick out one question around that is hard, but I'd have to go. The Juve moment is the most, one of his most iconic moments. After what inspired that is it was that heat of the moment thing, the celebration when he scores a brilliant goal. By the way, that's often overshadowed by the celebration. It was a brilliant goal he scored before it.
Good point.
But I'd ask him what inspired that celebration. Was it just heat of the moment, or did you have that planned?
Yeah, that would be a good... And by the way, I did have a theory on that, which might or might not be something that Bruni was aware of. But remember when Diouf was at Liverpool and he spat on a Celtic fan?
Oh,
remember that? It was a guy called Schiavone that he spat on. And the only reason I know that is because I think that case went to court. But anyway, I remember reading that the Celtic fan's name, it might have been Dominic Schiavone, right? Which is... You know, believe it or not, it's a name that's associated with a few families in Kirkcaldy and Fife. And obviously, Bruni's a Fifer as well. But Schiavone's, I think it was his uncle or a cousin, actually was with Celtic. If you look at the 1980s team groups, there is a player called Dominic Schiavone. He was related, even though the wiki says he wasn't, he was related to the ex-Celtic player of the same name. And I just wondered if Bruni knew the family and he thought, I'm going to get it right up, you ever score this goal. I wouldn't be asking him that. Lawrence, you can ask Scott Brown a question. What would it be?
Just when he catches up with Kevin Thompson, exactly how much does he rub it in about their signing decisions?
I'm pretty sure he does. And what about yourself?
Brown was all bound for Ibrox, according to the papers, wasn't he? And the hordes.
And the support. They were singing his name, Lawrence. Let's not let them forget that. They were singing Bruni's name, weren't they? Yeah. Liam?
Well, I would ask him, there was no better wind-up merchant on the park in recent times than Scott Brown. So I would actually flip it around and ask him, who was the player that used to wind him up the most when he played against them? I bet there's a good story in there somewhere.
Yeah, very, very good. Something he certainly wouldn't allow any of us to know at the time, but maybe looking back, he would admit it. I'm really interested with what he's done with his hair. I think it looks great since he's become a manager. He's let it grow in. It's fantastic. Paddy Lavery, Declan Lee again. He will be back with us, Paddy, on Thursday. You can see him on Thursday. He's going to join JP and I, which was his original day in actual fact. And before we move on to other matters, Pete McGee, ask you first, James, who would you prefer to meet in the final? Should we get there?
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Who'd I prefer to meet? I went to Falkirk games when I was really, really young because I had free tickets. I think it was our last season in the Premiership. I got along to a few. But I've also got family up in Inverness as well. So I don't really know who I'd rather face. I think Falkirk being the League One side, you'd probably choose them because you think it would be an easier game. I'd probably go Falkirk.
Falkirk? What about yourself, Lawrence?
As long as we're there, mate. As long as we're there, I'm not bored either way. Maybe Falkirk. I think they bring a bigger crowd. I think they've got capacity. And remember the old Brockville? There were some cracking games there.
There was.
5-4 games. So maybe a bit of nostalgia thinking back to them. I don't think it'd be 5-4 if we got them in the final, though. But,
unless it goes to penalties. Yeah. And
just to be there, mate. Just to get there and fix anything, isn't it?
Liam, what about yourself? Who would you rather?
Well, I'm on record as being, Cali's a team I've got a lot of time for, so I would like to see them get to a final. So I'd go for Cali.
Fair play. I'm going to stick with James here. I'm going to say Falkirk. And I think it's just down to the fact that it's been a while since we played them. I like a new and fresh fixture. But let's remember what Lauren says, a wee hint of caution. Should we get there? Of course, that is the big one. Thanks, everybody, yesterday who subscribed to the channel, who weren't subscribing before. They're in the draw to win this retro Shamrock Adidas kit. Who saw the Air United kit the other night, by the way, that they were wearing against Falkirk? It was like modelled on the classic, the Spurs jersey that was Hummel. And they had the Holston. I know you're into your jerseys, Liam. They had the Holston.
What was that? The yellow, the kind of golden yellow one?
They had a white, it was a white home top Spurs back in the day. And they actually played a testimonial for Ozzy Ardiles. And Maradona guested for Spurs. And there's a famous picture of Maradona wearing this Hummel jersey. It's an absolute classic. And the Air United one is modelled on that jersey. It looks pretty class, I've got to say. There is a story, obviously, around Hummel and their dealings with a Scottish football club that didn't end well. but we'll not get into that just now. Keith Oakden, as always, hello, all from Plymouth. Why, on the tagline, do we have the success of Andy's side is about to cause an implosion? Why would we care what it does to everybody else? Well, all I'm reading at the minute, Lawrence, is a narrative, and we shouldn't really be surprised. Kenny Miller, remember him? The man who played for 10 clubs, including Celtic. I'm going to ask you, James, how many games did he play for Celtic? Take a guess. Take a stab at it.
Yes.
Was it above 50? Did do you think?
It's
more than 50?
Just a bit before, Matty. I'm going to say under 50 if we're doing that.
Under 50. What about yourself, Liam? Without checking, what do you
reckon? I'd say about 75.
Lawrence?
I would go about 33. Mostly from the bench. I think Zarafsky started, didn't he? Instead of him. Part of the reason he left.
38. 38 games. I think we got a right good price for him, actually, when we sold him to Derby. Here's a wee quote. I'm going to read it out to you in full, and then I want to talk about it a wee bit, right? Because this is Scottish punditry, as we have it at the moment. Celtic have developed and created a very exciting football team I've said that I think that if we go this way and we continue with this trajectory, then we're in a period of domination. Some have corrected me and says, yeah, there was only one blip in that period of domination. I get it, but I think we've reset, we've refreshed. Here's the quote. Rangers had the chance to keep their foot on Celtic's neck after 55. They took it off. That's the quote. And I can see, Liam, you're dying to get in on this one, right? So the first part of that, why is it relevant to Celtic? Well, you know what? They're talking nonsense about Celtic, and we've got to take them to task. Right. First of all, 55. Come on. Let's make it accurate. What chance did they have? I can see you're absolutely teeming to get involved in this, Liam. What chance did they have, right, to keep their foot on Celtic's neck? They couldn't keep their own manager at the club. There was no way, even if they had done, despite what some others have said, they would overcome Ange last season, Ange and his team last season. And how can they decide to keep their foot on Celtic's neck without any kind of finance behind them? I'm going to come to you first, Liam, because I think you're dying to get involved in this one. I read that during the week, and I'm just thinking it's like the level of punditry in Scotland used to be absolutely superb. See, when you're doing archive research, you're reading through some of the great journalists in Scottish media back in the day. There was a sight to behold, and now we're dealing with this. This is like, a fan on a really, really bad fan platform. This is the kind of stuff I would expect. This is in the mainstream, Liam. What do you make of it?
You know, and it would never happen because I don't have the right sounding name, but if I was ever elevated to a position where I was able to give a lecture at a university on media and media bias, I would actually use that as a textbook example of everything that is wrong with Scottish sports media, especially in their coverage of Rangers. One, you've got the lie, the 55 false narrative, right? It's no, one, right? Two, you have the implied violence, foot on the throat. Why does it have to be such a violent, aggressive visage? There's no need for that. It's just baiting the worst elements of football fans in general, but particularly Rangers fans. And then you have the completely unrealistic take of, Rangers had the chance to pull away. There is no evidence whatsoever to back it up. And this is a recurring problem. It's the same as all that nonsense David Martindale came out with a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
You know, nobody actually said to him, look, do you actually have any even second-hand evidence to back up what you're saying? You know, it's the same with people like Kenny Miller get a platform to sit there simply because he used to wear a Rangers top. He gets to sit there and say this, and no one says, do you actually have any evidence to back that up? Because he doesn't. He doesn't. You know, I mean, in any other line of work, if I was working in the police, for example, right? If I said, right, I think that guy's a murderer, the judge would then say, okay, where's your evidence? You know, if I say, right, here's what I think our business strategy should be for the next year, they'd say, all right, how's that going to work? Show us your evidence. Nobody says to any of these halfwits in the media, can you actually prove any of this nonsense you're spouting? And it really, really annoys me because I know a lot of good writers who, like myself, have just got sick of the kind of closed shop nature of Scottish journalism and decided to made the choice to walk away from it. Mm-hmm. I basically, I moved to Japan after I quit being a journalist, cut a long story short, because studying journalism at university for 4 years made me realize I do not want to be a journalist. I do not want to be around these kind of people because it's just not, it's not a healthy atmosphere. And they are lying on a daily basis. They know they are lying. They are actively encouraging others to lie, and they pander to this tiny minority who, excuse my language, but for want of a better phrase, would not piss on them if they were on fire. Why does everybody in the Scottish media go to such lengths to suck up to Rangers when Rangers fans, Rangers board, Rangers management hold them in nothing but contempt?
Yeah,
what do they gain from it?
No, you're right. You talk about the contempt. Yeah, even just in recent times, we all know about the BBC being banned from getting interviews, etc.
Well, don't get me started on them this week.
I know. I've got some great footage. I've got some great footage of Gary Lineker at Celtic Park, by the way. I should really put it up on the socials. And also, you, on the top of that, you've got the bounty that the media were asked to pay just to attend Ibrox press conferences, etc. And then you do ask yourself, why are they currying favour? And the thing with the comments, like Liam says, Lawrence, and I'll come over to yourself, they're baseless. That there's nothing at all in there that you think, right, how do you back it up? But what it actually does do is it does appeal to a certain audience, i.e. Rangers fans, who often just believe this, right? And in itself, that's pretty dangerous, because what I'm saying is the success of Celtic at this moment in time under Ange is about to cause an implosion. There are small pockets of the fan base coming out and saying that, you know, they're unhappy, but it's always going to be too late. It was too late the last time before they realised what was wrong. A big part of that is the media. I listen to mainstream shows sometimes when I'm going home, and I think to myself, you're missing the point. Oh, the gap's not that big. They're just looking at a league table and saying, oh, 9 points. The gap between the two football clubs is not that big. It's absolutely huge. It's a massive gap. And I'm not just talking about the 9 points, obviously. What do you make of it, Lawrence? Is it just what you would expect?
They write like that because they're kind of writing from the heart. The fans, the Rangers fans, that's why they write like that. It's completely detached from the reality. When Fergus came in and built a stadium with 10,000 more seats, the competitive advantage and structural advantage that's given us has never been bridged. I think they added, you know, about they reduced it to 5,000 extra seats. They're never going to catch that up. You know, there's a structural advantage season on season with Celtic. Not to even go into how the two clubs are run, you know, and we make the best of a structural advantage and they just... I mean, like you touched on Hummel. I mean, I don't think that case is finished. Is that not the first case that's finished? The Hummel case is still to come to court. So there's facts out there that give us a structural advantage financially. And whether we like it or not, in football, generally, the team with the bigger financial muscle will win more often. And they seem to be absolutely unable to admit this or to grasp the reality of it. You can understand that when it's to do with the Champions League, that's terrible. It's just the big clubs with the most money doing it. Come to Scotland, Celtic get the most money. What do you think is going to happen? You know, it's just some really basic facts that they seem to be unable to admit to themselves, because they can't admit that Celtic's the bigger and better club than their own pet club. Why they get right dribble like that? Who knows, mate? I'm surprised they get paid for it. Mm. You know, it bears no semblance to what's going on in the football world. You know, we've touched on it a few weeks ago. You know, it's about standards. For us, I think we are looking at, you know, we need two trophies a season is our minimum. And they, you know, I think if they get one every few seasons, they're probably doing well just now. Just they're that badly run. You know? So the journalist, it's easy for them. I wouldn't be surprised, you know, if it's getting fed out of Ibrox. We know that's happened in the past. Ibrox feeding the media stories here. Mm-hmm. Print this story or story along these lines. Yeah, but yeah, they've learnt nothing, you know. Someone who won't learn from the past, what's it to say, you know? And yeah, it looks like it'll happen again, but it all goes back to Fergus giving us a huge financial advantage. You know, at the time it was like 5 million a season when, you know, I think our dearest player was only a couple of millions at that time. So until they overcome that structural advantage or draw level with us, on that and then start running a football club properly, they really have no chance.
No, but I mean, Fergus was a visionary, you know, and more and more people are coming to that way of thinking, because obviously he had his critics at the time, but he certainly was a visionary. He's building a 60,000 capacity stadium where our average attendance was not even half of that. It was incredible, the vision that that man had. But the one thing, James, that we certainly have in our corner is someone like Andrew comes out and sets the narrative. You know, he says, no, we are the biggest team. We do have the biggest fan base. And, you know, we've got the most honours, because like, at this moment in time, if you want to talk about success and, you know, quadruple treble, still scary to think back that, you know, for four seasons, we won everything that Scottish football had to offer. You basically completed football, right? Scottish football. And then one season, one blip, and then all of a sudden, Kenny Miller reckons they could have put their foot in our throat. That's a nonsense,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, if it was any other club other than Rangers, a club that was run by someone with a couple more brain cells, then perhaps a gap could have been made up. But when their club's been coming to the end of a cycle with this squad that they've got for maybe 2 years now. Celtic's team, the cycle, the team was coming to the end of a cycle in that 10-in-a-row season. Ange completely ripped up the book and put basically a brand new team out there. And Celtic have been completely transformed, whereas look at the other side of Glasgow, their assets are running down their contracts. They're probably their most prized asset is going in a free transfer at the Spanish League.
Mm-hmm.
Whilst we got rid of our prized assets with some decent valued bids. We got Edouard away for, what, 18 million? Ayer for 15. When we came to the end of the cycle, we got rid of the players, we got good money for them. Their players are going on frees to the Spanish League. So it just shows the contrast with how the clubs are run. And when your club's run by amateurs, it's never really going to go anywhere. It'll be very hard to make up the real gap that's here now, and it's Celtic are really far ahead.
Yeah, for sure. It's not just the 9 points you see in the league table. And Robert Highland would think that Falkirk would bring more of a crowd. It's good to look ahead to the Scottish Cup final, the showpiece of Scottish football, and we'll come back to some of these comments. I don't want to labour it. We've spoken about Kenny Miller's comments. Third force in Scottish football, Liam, they've got ambitions to win the league. Celtic have played them twice, once at home, once away in the last week or so. What did you make of the third force, Liam?
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law.
See terms and conditions. 18 plus. It's not going to be this season, is it? No, look. Particularly the first game at Celtic Park, they gave us a game. It was a good competitive game. A game in which we were vastly superior, ultimately. But then, I think Robbie Nielsen poked the... I don't want to say poked the bear, because that's probably the wrong phrase, but he said some things he shouldn't have after that game, talking about decapitations and all this kind of nonsense. And I guess, Celtic were a wee bit annoyed by that. I mean, out and did an absolute number on them in the cup game, just to prove a point. And just on a wee side note, just to go back to something we were talking about a minute ago, anyone else think it's a wee bit strange that Morton Sabakers files for bankruptcy in the same week that Morelos announces he's leaving Rangers? I'm just saying.
Listen, that is a good point. Not one that I had considered, Liam. Well done. You've joined the dots. Lawrence, before I come to you on the third force in Scottish football, how is the Doug? Is he away doing a shift for you?
He's all right, mate. He's just waiting by the front door, waiting for it to get chapped.
And then it goes banzai. We had a lot of chat, and actually Liam brings up another point, because you've already mentioned Martindale. The comments of people like David Martindale and Robbie Nielsen, for example, where obviously Michael Beale has been guilty of that this season, where there's no respect when they're talking about Celtic whatsoever, Lawrence. And I don't know, I'm not sitting here thinking, oh, we're entitled to this or that. But if you don't, you know, respect your opponent at the very, very least, then, you know, the chances are Celtic will absolutely dismantle you. And, you know, the way that Nielsen comes across when talking about Celtic and the language he used, going back to another point Liam used with that, you know, decapitation, you know, it would fit them better, if you ask me, Lawrence, to concentrate on what they've got at their disposal and improving on that rather than almost kind of like looking down their nose at Celtic or just basically put it down to budget and all this kind of stuff. I mean, the language used by Robbie Nielsen, I felt, was completely disrespectful. But as Liam says, we got it right up them in the second game. What was your take on the third force of Scottish football?
Listen, they always give us a fairly decent game. And for the managers to come out and making comments, I think it's because they've taken stock of where their team is and know they've got absolutely no chance and need to do something to try and upset us and wind us up. Because if they leave it to the two teams in the park, they know what's going to happen. So I think the managers are out there trying to get a wee bit of influence in the refs, hopefully try to upset things at Celtic, but no, I'm just too smart for them. He's going to just prepare the team as normal. He knows what it takes to put a winning team in the park. They're trying to get a wee bit of advantage. They end up looking foolish more often than not. Mm-hmm. You know, so if they want to keep making comments like that and their team getting spanked on the park, you know, it's up to them. Long may it continue.
Yeah. Over the piece, James, most people in Axum have been given some kind of nickname. People find doppelgangers from all over the globe. And you're now being called Baby Jota. But I think that's got more to do with
you. Because the mullet, eh?
I think it's the mullet. You are now Baby Jota.
I'd tell you get a tash in or something, Dad. It's probably good to be called a Baby Jota. He's a handsome guy.
He is a handsome guy. Could be worse.
It's better than Leanne Dempster, isn't it?
Mate, there's a whole list. What was the one yesterday? Oh, David Dickinson. The referee, not the auctioneer. What do you make of it, James? Because I know you're a student of Scottish football. You cover, you know, the game, and you keep a keen eye on the developments of all the clubs, not just in the top division either. But there has been this suggestion that, you know, they've got this ambition. By the way, I welcome that. I think that the Edinburgh clubs have underperformed for many, many years. And if they want to, you know, have a strategy in place over a period of time where they can become a challenger, then great, fantastic, completely welcome that. But when you actually see it, you know, over a period of two games, one at home, one away, I don't think they have got it at the moment. I mean, were you impressed by them?
They brought the game to us during the midweek game. They've brought the game to us quite a few times under Ange, obviously. Andrew's first game in charge, they beat us. And they've brought it to us quite a few times, but I thought, as soon as you concede that first goal 2 minutes into the game, what chance have you got? It's already an uphill battle when you're facing the best team in the country with the quality of players we've got. You're just making it, you've turned it from Damayak to Everest. It just becomes even more difficult than it was before. But I think the only thing that was more enjoyable than beating Hearts was the Robbie Nielsen tears after the game during the week. He's always got an excuse. Mm-hmm. He's always got something. Every time his team loses, there's always got to be something. There's got to be a referee to have a go at, or a decision's gone wrong, or just make a comment about the finances involved between the two clubs. He can never just accept a defeat, and it's just... He is a bit of a wind-up merchant, and he's clearly got me.
Well, the thing is, like you say, it does feel like it's, you know, sour grapes, as they would say. Damayak to Everest, I like that. For all the people that are tuning in from all over the world, they'll be typing in Damayak.
There is a thing for these managers. You know, in any walk of life, you should be modelling excellence. Mm-hmm. Who's the best manager in Scotland? The Miles. Look at how he conducts his cell.
Yeah.
Here's a hint to the managers. Look what that guy does. Look how successful he is. Maybe give it a go.
Remember Lee Johnson at Hibs came out and said, if I was a player in that Hibs dressing room, I think we'd just dropped them 6-0, was it? Did they get a goal that day? Maybe 6-1. And they were saying, you know, I'd be in there trying to figure out what it is the Japanese imports are doing day to day, what they're doing with their conditioning, what they're doing with their diet, how are they so sharp, how are they, their energy levels so high? And I thought, he's a guy that comes out and respects the opposition. The guys we've been mentioning absolutely do not. But again, McInnes is another one. He's never got a good word to say about Celtic fair play because obviously, you know, his deficiencies have been shown up in the Scottish Cup campaign anyway. But rampant Lions, teams like Falkirk and Dunfermline have a far bigger support than Livingston. Hopefully they can both get back up. Last time it was 37,200 for the Falkirk v Inverness Cali Thistle Cup final in 2015. I think the key is to capitalise on it. And what I don't mean as in capitalism. I mean, you know, make sure that the people that buy the tickets for these smaller, more provincial clubs are recorded and documented so that, you know, we can, the clubs can then build on that and harvest a relationship and build a season ticket base and build up their own home attendances. I want to talk a wee bit about the good stuff. Kyogo Furuhashi, I remember the day he signed, I was in Glasgow, Colin was presenting the show, and at that time, most Celtic fans, Liam, most Celtic fans didn't know much about Kyogo. And he's now hit 26, I think, you know, barring a disaster, he's going to hit over 30 goals. And there's been chat during the week. Liam, I'm going to come to you. You are the resident specialist and expert on this subject. I actually do think that in recent times he is one of the finest. He's been spoken of in the same kind of tones this week as Dembele and Edouard. Where do you rate him?
In all honesty, and this is going to sound like a bit of hyperbole, but I think in terms of attacking players at Celtic that I have seen in the flesh, he's second only to Henrik Larsson. I think he's now different type of player, but he's on a par with the likes of John Hartson and Chris Sutton in terms of his effectiveness. I think only Henrik Larsson was consistently better over an extended period than Kyogo is at the moment.
It's a bold statement, but I'll tell you what, it shows you how highly you regard the player, and you've spoken so highly of him since he came to the club. Lawrence, we've seen some fantastic strikers at Celtic Football Club. Back in the day, we used to be able to produce them. Not so much now, but we have imported someone here who... he is a real fan's favourite, but it seems as though in terms of what he brings to the squad, not just on the park, but he seems like a really popular member of the squad. And I just think that it almost, other than within Axom and Celtic fans and Celtic as a football club, it almost goes under the radar. You know, you don't see much more about Kyogo and the, you know, online news sources of Scottish football. The guy is a phenomenon. And he's been outrageously good since he signed for Celtic. He's going to smash that 30-goal barrier, no doubt about that. Where do you rate him, though, Liam? Lawrence, rather.
In terms of strikers, obviously you've got Larsson, Dalglish, Lennox. We've seen... he's got to be in the top 10 that I've seen. I think his best years are still ahead of him, which is probably more frightening for the rest of the league, I think. Europe next season will be the real testing ground for him. But I think he's definitely in the top 10. Is he in the top 5? Maybe. But listen, this boy's got seasons ahead of him with us. And I think if he turns on the Champions League next year, it takes him up a level, doesn't it?
Well, see, that's the thing, right? So this season, you know, we've heard a lot of chat about the fact that he didn't get on the score sheet, James, in the Champions League. People then automatically say it's no Champions League standard, etc. Don't really subscribe to that. I think that this season was all about acclimatisation for the team, for Ange. Ange had never managed in the Champions League. You know, he did a qualifier last season. And guys like O'Reilly and Kyogo and various others, Carter Vickers obviously was injured for the games mostly. For them to then get used to that level, that standard, the pace, what's expected of you. And next season, I think we can judge Kyogo at that level. What's your take on that?
Yeah, it would have been hard for Celtic to take to the Champions League like a duck to water after a 4 or 5 year absence from the Champions League, and when you consider the majority of the squad, apart from maybe Cal McGregor and Joe Hart, or a few others I might be missing, it was their first time playing in the Champions League. And I thought Kyogo, he can definitely do it in Europe. We saw it in the Europa League in Andrew's first season. It was really good. He got a good few goals then. So I want to see him get a real run at the Champions League. So then we can really hold him up to the other strikers. I think he's probably on the level with Edouard for me as far as the strikers I've seen. I rate Moussa Dembele very highly. He's a different class than Edouard and Kyogo. But I'd probably rank him around there when I consider sort of modern day Celtic forwards.
Yeah, it is. It's an interesting discussion. Red Scotland comes in talking about this being the best Celtic team, obviously, in the last period. Martin got to a UEFA Cup final. Gordon got to the last 16 twice consecutively. Unbelievable. Ange has been served by Bodo Glimt. Thus far, we trail those other two sides if results are the measure. Do you agree with that, Liam?
It's a wee bit harsh. You know, with the greatest of respect to Martin O'Neill and Gordon Strachan's past achievements, which were phenomenal. It is significantly more difficult to make any kind of progress in the Champions League now than it was then. The financial gap has just increased exponentially. You do have a cabal now of those five big European leagues, and it is very, very difficult for any team outside of that. And not just Celtic, it's the same for Ajax, it's the same for Benfica, it's the same for Porto. It's the same, you know, it's the same for a lot of these historically big... I mean, when was the last time we had a really good Eastern European team do some damage in the Champions League? You know, I remember, like, Dinamo Kiev getting to the quarterfinals when Shevchenko was there. I remember... Mm. Dinamo, was it? No, Dinamo, still Bucharest won it back in the 80s, right? Yeah. Doesn't happen anymore because those are now confined to being footballing backwaters because of the financial gulf. And unfortunately, Scotland's kind of in the same boat. I mean, at the end of the day, the only reason, and it's, you know, we shouldn't underestimate what Celtic have achieved in the last 18 months, but the only reason we're getting this automatic Champions League is because of what's going on between Russia and Ukraine. You know, if the Russian teams were still doing their thing, and, you know, everything was going along as normal, Scotland would struggle in that top 10 coefficient and we would not be guaranteed that Champions League place, which I think is ridiculous. The idea that the third place team in any league gets in ahead of the champions of another league is just utterly confounding to me. And to be honest, although I think motivations so far for a European Super League have been primarily based on greed, the idea of a breakaway league that involved like the 40 or 50 clubs that was being mooted a couple of weeks ago might actually be the proverbial rocket up the backside that UEFA needs to get the finger out and actually start redistributing some of this wealth.
Yeah, and hopefully that does happen. Liam, I mean, Stephen Mullen, miles away from being the best Celtic team. I'd agree with that. In my lifetime.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I tend to agree with regards to let's have a look at Europe next year. Let's have a look at how we compete in the European competitions. It's definitely up there in terms of the entertainment value, the way that we're actually approaching the games, the way that we're dismantling teams. We're playing it with a style and a tempo that is definitely right up there. I've said before, I loved Tommy's team. I loved it, absolutely. But we never had a decent goalie. And we drew too many games and we didn't have that back line as solid as it should have been. And I think Ange has got that wee bit on him. And of course, he's winning more trophies as well. Kevin Mullen. Hail, hail, Axom. I'm 40 now. This is fast becoming my favourite Hoops team to watch. Long may it continue. And Ange, we trust 100%. Here's a wee question that we could have asked Bruni today. Are you preparing in your career to manage Celtic one day? I think he'll definitely come back up to Scotland. I've seen a couple of jobs coming up and I'm thinking, would he be interested in that? It's maybe too early at this moment in time. He's doing really well down there. And I think if you're like me, you keep an eye on the ex-Celts and hopefully that continues. You've not had a chance, Lawrence, to talk about that penalty shout, Johnson versus Halliday. What's your take on it?
No surprise, mate. You know, let's be honest. You know, it's a stick on pen, but VAR doesn't see it or they don't review it. more of the same from VAR, isn't it? From the referees. We've had them given against us. It's just ridiculous. But it's what we expect from Scottish refs. And whether it's unconscious bias or not, it's definitely displaying bias. And at some point, you know, the SFA and the media should be part of this. They need to address what exactly is going on with penalty decisions for and against one club compared to the other. And it's just ridiculous. Why would they keep denying there's a problem? Maybe it's because they're okay with it. I don't know. But they'll never progress, and probably the league will be held back because of it as well. But, yeah, it gets back to the media should be calling this out and saying, look, this is an absolute joke. But they don't seem to have a problem. Oh, I got the ball away anyway, so it's okay that it hammers into him. No, that's not really in the rules. It's a penalty.
Goes back to the original point we discussed in relation to that quality of the media output, Lawrence. How many are actually prepared to put their neck on the line here and say that there is an issue? Because I'm not reading that, you know, with any kind of regularity. And then you read that kind of nonsense from Kenny Miller, and there's more to come from Craig Levine before the end of the show. With regards to that, Liam, that is my one concern. We've been talking about trebles. There's nothing wrong with that. We're football fans. We support Celtic. We can talk about it. We can dream. We trust that Ange and the players will be well prepared. Of course they will be. So we can dream a wee bit, and we can talk about the final before we're there and all that kind of stuff. But my one real source of concern is this. You know, if it's nothing each, and that is a moment in the game, be it for us or against us, you know, you worry about that, don't you?
Yeah, that's why, you know, I think look, my biggest concern for the remainder of the season is the Cup semi and Cup final. Because you better believe that Cup semi-final, if Rangers can even get the ball into that penalty area, it's going to be penalty, you know. Any kind of semblance of an opportunity to give that to give decisions against us in that game is going to be taken. But, you know, as we showed in the final couple of weeks ago, you have to actually get the ball into Celtic's penalty area before you can win a penalty. So as long as we can dominate them to the extent we did there, I think we'll be fine. But I do have that. It's wrong because that should not be a concern. You go into any football match as a fan, your primary concern should be, are we good enough to beat the opposition?
Mm-hmm. But that is the concern, because the refs are the opposition, mate.
Well, that's the problem. That's the thing now. It's not just about, are we going to beat the team that's in front of us? It's, are we going to beat them by enough goals that the various dodgy refereeing decisions aren't going to factor into it? And that shouldn't be the way it is, but that's just the norm now. It's just the norm. I mean, it's become a running joke. I was looking at a thing the other day, and it was Scottish Football Archive or something, and it was some classic, you'll love this, some classic like 1970s, early 80s sort of commentary, Scott Sport, and it was Arthur Montford doing his thing, and the ball is getting pinballed around a six-yard box before it eventually gets kicked away, you know? And the captain said, so what do we call this in Scottish football? And of course, everybody's thinking, Stramash, that was the classic word, right? But almost every reply was penalty to Rangers, penalty to Rangers, penalty to Rangers. Because it just, even amongst fans of other clubs, it's become such a running joke now that they just, you know, they're going to get a penalty at some point, you know?
Yeah, I know. And it just doesn't stack up. We're all data driven these days, and I love the stats and I love the figures and the data. What would the data be in relation to the time spent in a penalty area, the percentage of that time, you know, penalties that you would actually gain? What would be the average across Scottish football, and where do Rangers sit in relation to that? Because you just know the trend would be an anomaly, you know, both in Scottish football, probably in European football and world football, that, you know, you would not get that amount of penalties, you would not concede that few penalties if there was a formula attached to it. Absolutely not. It would be a blinding anomaly in the matrix, and even then it would be denied as a conspiracy. So, Kei Matsu, I've never cared much for how many trophies a team wins. I care about how much enjoyment I derive from watching them play. One moment of beauty, Lord. On that standard, this is a damn fine team. I get that when it's other teams and other leagues, you just want to enjoy the game, and I'm not too fussed who wins the English League. But when it comes to Celtic, James, it's all about winning.
Yeah, it's all about, so that's the culture at Celtic. And Andrew's restored that ever since he came in, but I don't mean to sort of put the current team down, but I feel like everybody's so caught up in the moment. This is the current team that we have. We think we are the best. Kyogo's the best striker we've had since Larsson, so on and so forth. I'm sure people thought the same thing when we had the Invincible team under Brendan Rodgers. I'm sure many thought, this is the best team I've seen in my lifetime. I think a lot of people are getting caught up in the moment with this team, maybe overrating the team a little bit, but why wouldn't you live in the moment? We're playing some phenomenal football at the moment, and a long way to continue. But I just had to make that point. Don't mean to put a downer on the team, but I had to get that point across.
No, but the thing that you're saying there, James, you only need to go back to last season. Giakoumakis is fully confident, scoring goals. He gets interviewed. He says, we are the best team. We are, you know, there's so much caution amongst a lot of our fan base. We're like, oh, I don't like hearing that. Whereas, yeah, you know, we're sitting here saying, I'm pretty confident. It's almost like it's ingrained in us, you know, that we're not allowed to have that state of mind and that mentality. And I get that. I totally get it, because it's all about humility in many, many ways, isn't it? And I did see a lot of comments coming through after Giakoumakis made those remarks. I want to talk a wee bit about Joe Hart. I'm going to come to you first, Liam. He's a guy who, even in the last couple of weeks, the media, who have already discussed, certain people were saying, we need to upgrade our goalie. He goes out there at Tynecastle and he makes one of the finest saves he's made in a Celtic jersey, by the way. I mean, that save down to his bottom left was incredible. Then the reaction to be able to get up and push it behind the goal was sensational. Carl McGregor, spoken about the importance that he has within this team, not just for the young guys, but for the senior pros as well. He drives them on, Liam. They thanked him at halftime at Tynecastle for, you know, what he actually contributed to that. That's it, 1-0 when he makes that save, isn't it? It's so important to Celtic. Do you think some of the criticism's been a bit OTT?
Yeah, I think it's just when you have a team that are as successful as we are at the moment, it becomes a matter of nitpicking. And, you know, as a former goalkeeper myself, I know that goalkeepers are always an easy target. Henrik Larsson, to use the example, right? When I had my season ticket in the early 2000s, there were probably 8 to 10 games a season where Larsson would be anonymous for 70 or 80 minutes. But he would score a hat-trick in the other 10 or 15 minutes, so it wouldn't matter, right? Whereas, flip that with Joe Hart. Joe Hart could make 4 or 5 world-class saves, but if he has one clanger, he's a dud. That's the problem with being a goalkeeper. Mm-hmm. And I don't think there's a problem with Joe Hart. I think he's an excellent goalkeeper. He showed that at the weekend. I think he's a huge character. You know, England's second most capped goalkeeper of all time, I believe, after Peter Shilton.
Right.
You know, massive character, massive experience, massive leadership qualities. And there's a great, if you can look it up and you don't mind a bit of colourful language, there's a great comparison video online of getting a Joe Hart getting ready to take a goal kick compared to another goalkeeper. They're like, this is what makes Joe Hart special. Wee ball boy gets the ball and this other goalkeeper's like, oh, here, give me the ball, please. Give me the ball here, please. And gets it very slowly and just kind of casually takes a kick. Joe Hart's like, give me that effing ball! Give that effing ball right now! And he like seizes it off the wee boy and immediately takes the kick out. And I was like, do you know what? That kind of drive, that kind of aggression is exactly what you need in a Celtic goalkeeper.
Yeah, he doesn't get the same kind of like speed of return when he's at away grounds, that's for sure.
No.
Michael McDonald, one of my best seasons. This is not the Saville season, the Seville season, Michael. God.
Oh, dear.
a wee slip. One now, but great memories of the Seville season. Absolutely, Michael. Yeah, I mean, my eyes are so bad I didn't see that before it was up. Peter, here's the thing as well, actually, Peter King. Griffiths was a great striker. People would say, you know, Griffiths is one of very few Celtic players who have scored 40 or more goals in a campaign. And I was just reading last week that he is relaunching his career with a deal over in Australia. And let's just hope he gets back to playing football and scoring goals as well, because that's what's important for him. Lawrence, Joe Hart, people are talking about upgrades. People are looking ahead to the pre-season. This is what we do. As football fans, I'm pretty happy with Joe Hart. I think he showed at the weekend he's still got that kind of performance in him.
So I take it by upgrade, they mean better quality. What would that cost in a keeper better quality than Joe Hart? You know, Liam's touched on his international caps. You know, long-term plan for replacement, I can see we need to have a good keeper in to replace him, but an upgrade, that would require some level of keeper and probably some finance to bring him. So I'm not too sure. You know, it's ambitious to try and get an upgrade in Joe Hart. I know he won't go on forever, and we definitely need to have a plan, you know, for when he goes, but I don't think upgrade's maybe the right word when Joe's concerned. You know, his class is undeniable with what he's done in the game, and he showed it there at Hearts. But to kind of go back to the earlier point, you know, about it's all about winning at Celtic. So I'm going to say it's probably not, and that's why Ange has been so successful. See if it's all about winning. You know, cheat your taxis, get friends off your favours and the refs, do it whatever it takes to win. That's all about winning. Ange is about playing great football every game, creating chances. It's an attacking style that he thinks is the best way to win a football game. You know, so Ange has combined it. It is about the quality on the park and the quality of performance. It's not about winning at all costs. And I think that's why Ange has been so successful. He's married the two together because it kind of lives with his Celtic fans, doesn't it? You know, that cavalier style. And you talked about Tommy's team, or you mean go back to the Centurion team, Davy Hayes' team, the early 80s. You know, they were in a great league at that time with Aberdeen and Dundee United, the call in that league. Cracking team. You know, but there was that kind of cavalier fairy tale about the club, as Billy McNeil said. And I think, you know, Ange has managed to capture that with his winning style of football.
Yeah. I mean, you're right. It's not about winning at all costs, but it is all about winning at Celtic. You've got to win. You know, that's
how you win is important.
Yeah, you know? It's not at all costs, but you're right. You're doing it in a certain style that, you know, is often described as the Celtic way. I guess, just like back in the day, there was the Liverpool way. And when we're looking at goalkeepers and upgrades, and Liam Lawrence makes a great point there, James, in relation to it. Also, if you want to look at the two ends of the scale in relation to recruitment and how far we've come, you've just got to look at £5 million for Barkas, £1 million for Hart, and what the respective goalkeepers have given us. What's your take on Joe Hart?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Joe Hart. I've got no reason not to be. Just that double save against Hearts at the weekend, a perfect example of how good he is. He's just a good shot stopper. People might complain, they might say he's not good in the ball, yada, yada, yada. The last time Celtic went out and bought a goalie with the pure intention of him being good in the ball, we signed Vasilis Barkas. So if we got the ideal fans goalkeeper, it would be him. So I'd say a solid shot stopper. You need that in Europe as well. You don't need a goalie that can play over the back in Europe. You need a shot stopper because Celtic aren't as good as Real Madrid, and we're ultimately going to be facing loads and loads and loads of chances. So you need that absolute wall and goals that's going to keep them out. And I think Joe Hart, he can be just that for us for hopefully a few more years. But I'm just thinking, I don't think we've got a ready-made goalie to replace him here, though. I was hoping it would be Oli Wayemi, but I think we've all seen the absolute clangor he had on his debut in the Irish League. The shot, it's going straight at him, jumps out of the way. So I'm not too sure who's going to replace him when he eventually does move on and might buy someone in, but he's got a few more years to go, surely.
Yeah, I also remember Brendan Rodgers bringing in Doris De Vries because he was good with the ball at his feet as well. And he's a goalie that was taken off before half-time on one occasion, I think, against Kilmarnock. You remember that?
We're better off with Doris Day.
Doris Day, yeah, absolutely.
A goalie's job is to save shots. Just buy someone in to do that. You don't need them to do anything else.
Yeah, I think over the what will be two seasons so far, I think Joe Hart has been a very, very important cog in this machine, the Ange machine. And I think that, you know, who knows what happens after this season, but so far he's had a bit of stick, and then he reminds people who are criticising him just what he's capable of, and he did that at Tynecastle. It's been an absolute pleasure to sit in here for Declan McConville, who was talking to Bruni earlier on. He will be joining us. That's Declan, by the way, not Bruni, on Thursday. Maybe someday we will get Bruni on, or maybe for a live event. Talking of which, if you want to come and see us at Gracie's, we will be there next month with Alan Thompson. Tickets underneath this video. If you want to support Axom, give us a thumbs up on the video on YouTube and subscribe Also, remember to click the notifications bell because it will tell you every time we're about to go live as well. So thank you all for getting involved in the comment section. Thank you to James, Lawrence and Liam for joining me on A Celtic State of Mind.
Network.